Welcome to Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Good morning, good morning. Happy Resurrection Sunday. Say to your next door neighbor, Happy Resurrection Sunday. Say to your other neighbor, the other neighbor's not awake yet. Wake him up. Who has had coffee this morning? Who has not had coffee this morning? Pray for me. I've had chocolate. Hey, before I start, I just want to highlight Sondi. Sondi is our prophetic painter this morning. Can we just give her a round of applause? So Sondi is, when she came in here, this canvas was blank as, like, just pure white. How amazing is that so far? But Sonny's going to share a little bit later after the service, after we finish with communion, on the prophetic meaning behind this and the technique she's used, which is the first time she's done this, used this technique, and God told her clearly this is what she's got to do. She normally uses brushes. So how amazing, how amazing. Well, as you all know, it's Resurrection Sunday, and this morning I want to say welcome to all our visitors as well. It's good to have you. Please don't run away afterwards. Make sure you stay behind. There's coffee in the foyer, and there's a little surprises. You don't want to leave. And of course, we want to get to know you. We want to have a chat as well. So just hang around a little longer. This morning, I want to talk about the first Resurrection Sunday, the first Resurrection Sunday. I know today's the Resurrection Sunday, but I want to talk about the first, and I've titled this message, The First Resurrection Sunday. This is the morning where the Christian church across the globe, celebrates what we've come to know and as what they know as Easter. But I prefer the name Resurrection Sunday. Why? Because this is to commemorate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. FYI, for your information, the word Easter actually is believed to be from the word Estra, which is an Anglo-Saxon name for the Teutonic, very big word if for somebody who hasn't had coffee yet, name for the Teutonic goddess of spring and fertility. Her festival was celebrated on the day of the spring equinox. And many of the traditions that she had around then are still hanging around today, like the Easter bunny, which is actually a symbol of fertility, and the Easter egg, which is painted in bright colors to represent the sunlight of spring. And also the giving of baskets, the whole baskets filled with treats, are just a few of the traditions that are still hanging around. Now, I'm not saying throw the baby out with the bathwater. All I'm saying is just be aware of this. That's why I call it Resurrection Sunday and not Easter Sunday. Yeah, the world knows it as Easter Sunday, and even our children. So how do we work with our children on this? That's a very good question. Pauline and I used to still give our kids Easter eggs. They got their Easter eggs on their beds yesterday. They've devoured all the chocolate, so we've got no chocolate in the house today, which is very, very heart-aching and very sorrowful this morning for me afterwards. I didn't eat mine yesterday, so I'm going to have to share mine today with the rest of the family. They're pretty clever. But what we used to do when they were kids is we used to bring them to church, and then we would tell them all about the resurrection on why we do what we do and what is the main reason. So they knew that it wasn't about the bunny and it wasn't about the Easter eggs, but it was about the risen Christ, the empty cross, the empty tomb. And so that's how we brought up our kids. Just a little bit of family training right there. Is that all right? Okay. Pastor Simone said it's okay, so it's okay. But as we journey today back to Resurrection Sunday, I want us to look at the events of the tomb, of the empty tomb, the tomb of Jesus. And I want us to see what happened and what it means for us today. And the scripture that I've chosen is out of Matthew. If you've got your Bibles, grab your Bibles, open up to Matthew 28, verses 1 to 8. Verses 1 to 8. I'm reading this morning, and it's going to be on the back from the Passion Translation. I just love how they make it so real, and they just fill in a couple of things. So I'm going to read from verse 1. After the Sabbath ended at the first light of dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, she just got the name, the other Mary, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, went to take a look at the tomb. Suddenly, the earth shook violently. Say, suddenly. Suddenly, the earth shook violently beneath their feet as the angel of the Lord Jehovah descended from heaven. Lightning flashed around him, and his robe was dazzling white. I love the emphasis. Lightning flashed around him, robe dazzling white. The guards who were stunned and terrified, these are the Roman guards, lying motionless like dead men. Another translation says they fainted. The angel walked to the tomb, rolled away the stone, and sat on top of it. The women, verse 5, were breathless and terrified until the angel said to them, "There is no reason to be afraid. I know you're here looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He has risen." Do you sense that freedom? He has risen. Say that. He isn't here. He has risen. There's something victorious about that. There's something that is releasing and brings freedom. He has risen victoriously, just as he said. "Come inside the tomb," the angel said, "and see the place where our Lord was lying. Then run and tell these disciples that he has risen from the dead. I give you his message. I am going ahead of you in Galilee, and you will see me there." Verse 8, they rushed quickly to tell his disciples, and their hearts were deep in wonder and filled with great joy. Another translation or another book, another gospel says that the woman ran, red excited, and they said nothing. I don't think that's possible. I really don't think that's possible. I mean, if you're so excited. Anyway, I'm just saying. Now I need to point out a couple of facts. By the different writers brought different stories. The different writers of the different gospels were writing to different audiences. So they've included other things in other parts of the story. So I want to encourage you, while you're eating your chocolate eggs today and drinking your cup of tea or your coffee, is go and read through the account of the resurrection through the different gospels. But this morning, I want us to focus on Matthew's account of the first Resurrection Sunday. When I read this scripture, I was reading through the different accounts going, I was actually thinking to myself, what do you preach on Resurrection Sunday that people haven't heard yet? Lord Jesus, help me. And I got stuck on this bit about these participants and especially about the angel. And I started looking into this, and this is where this sermon comes from. This is where this message comes from, because in the scripture, there are three participants which I want to highlight. The first is the Roman soldiers, or the guards. You see, they were instructed to stand guard so that the Jews would not steal the body of Jesus out of the tomb. Then we had the woman. We had Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. Matthew records the two women came that morning. He doesn't say why they came, but perhaps they came to pray or to grieve near the place where his body had been buried. Maybe it was part of their processing of what happened that day. You know, like when we lose a loved one and we bury them in a cemetery, we go to the cemetery, we go and visit the graveside as part of the process of what had happened. Maybe that's why they went. We don't know. Maybe they were coming to make sure that everything was in order, neat and tidy at the tomb. I don't know what the reason was. We aren't or not told, but what we are told is they came to see the tomb. The third participant in this story is the angel, the supernatural being. You see, humanity was not the only one that was there. Heaven sent his own delegate, the angel of the Lord Jehovah, which descended from heaven. So many times we read these stories, and I myself have overlooked the angel, the significance of the role that the angel played. So this is where I want to teach around. I want to teach a couple of lessons and highlight a couple of things that the angel did on that day. This angel removed a number of obstacles. The first obstacle was the stone. The angel rolled the stone away. The stone represented the finality of death. It was the closure. Like when we stand at an open grave and we start putting soil onto the coffin, it's that same thing that started covering the coffin. It's the sign of the finality of death. The stone symbolic of he is gone forever. But God, everybody say, but God. He took care of the stone. How did he take care of the stone? By sending an angel of the Lord Jehovah, the angel of the Lord Jehovah. They did not need a supernatural being to come and intervene to move the stone because the tomb was actually closed by man itself. Man rolled the stone over. Another point that we've got to take here is they would not have to have placed guards around there if only a supernatural being could roll the stone away. You see, but they sent the guards because they knew that man, they could come and roll the stone away and steal the body. But God sent an angel. Why did he send an angel? He sent an angel to go to the stone and effortlessly roll it away. I'm creative and I like to see pictures. And I actually see the angel just taking his little finger and rolling this massive stone away. You know, just effortlessly. He effortlessly removes the stone, opening the tomb. Why? Opening that which was once closed so that he could reveal a secure triumph over all the obstructions of Christ's resurrection. There's a significance about the supernatural being part of the resurrection. The angel sat as a supernatural guard at the grave, ready to reveal the truth, ready to give these people that came an account of Jesus' resurrection. By using the angel, God demonstrates his supreme power and authority over the natural order, emphasizing the miraculous nature of Jesus' resurrection. Jesus' resurrection was this intervention from the miraculous. He also highlighted that it was not a mere human endeavor, but an act of God. You see, folks, the stone was not removed to let Jesus out of the tomb. I believe he was long gone before the angel opened the tomb. There's nowhere in scripture that we read that the angel effortlessly moved the stone and Jesus walked out of there. There nowhere do we read that. You see, I believe this, that the stone was rolled away to reveal the power of the resurrection of Jesus, to reveal the power of God, so that man could look into the tomb, so that man could see and believe the magnitude of what God had done through the cross and the resurrection. The tomb, this was a declaration that the tomb was forever empty. Something to get excited about. The tomb was forever empty. Now, this is the first obstacle. The first obstacle, the stone that was there, was rolled away to unveil the power of God. The second obstacle was the soldiers. In Matthew 27, the previous verses 62 to 67, Matthew 27, 62 to 67, it tells us of the chief priests and the Pharisees who were concerned that the prophecies of Jesus might actually come true. So they wanted a company of guards to be posted at the tomb. So they went to Pilate, and on the request of the chief priest, we read in 65, Pilate said to them, "You have a guard of soldiers." So he gave them these guards. He said, "Go make it as secure as you can." So they went and they made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting a guard there. By sealing the stone. That's actually, some of the other translations talk about that they actually put the seal of Pilate on the tomb. How many soldiers were there? How many guards were there? We don't know. But the scholars are suggesting 16 or more. They were serious about God in this tomb. It wasn't just two like we see in the pictures. It was 16 or more. The guards at the tomb were symbolizing an earthly authority. The guards at the tomb symbolizing a human skepticism. The guards at the tomb symbolizing a fight for control. It actually symbolizes unknowingly the affirmation of Jesus' resurrection. You see, their presence highlights the tension between human efforts to suppress divine truth. How much don't we read? We see that. We read of that in today's lives, in our schools, in our universities, in our states, in our countries, where human efforts are always there to suppress the divine truth. Still happening to this day. The soldiers, they were the ones that actually stood as an obstacle between the believers and their entrance to the revelation as they would enter into the tomb of Jesus, see and believe. However, these hardened soldiers, these blokey blokes, you know, these kind of guys, what happened when the angel appeared? They went, woo, pfft. They fainted, it says. They lost it. They couldn't handle themselves. They fainted at his feet. In other words, all humanistic power was nothing in compared to the supernatural occurrence. This obstacle was removed. Realizing and releasing the faith of God and in God amongst the believers. The third obstacle the angel removed was fear and unbelief. How many here, sitting here this morning, hearing my voice, do not still struggle with fear and unbelief? I do. What? You're a pastor. You should have it all together. Nope, I don't. I don't have it all together. There's moments in my life, there's moments every week that I have to address the fear that wants to come upon me. I have to remind myself, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and sound mind. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and sound. I've got to say constantly over and over and over again. Have you ever tried to do that when you've got toothbrush in your mouth? You got toothpaste all over the mirror. At the end of the day, the angel comes to speak to the woman that morning and remove the greatest obstacles of all, fear and unbelief. So addressing fear, the angel, perceiving the fear of the woman, reassures them with these words, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid is a common phrase used by angels in the Bible, emphasizing the message's significance and divine origin. We hear that the angel said to the shepherds when Jesus was born in the fields, the shepherds were in the fields, Jesus was not in the field. The angel said to the shepherds in the field when Jesus was born, do not be afraid. He's saying the same thing to these women. Then he says to them, he isn't here. He has risen victoriously, just as he said. The English Standard Version says, come and see the place where he lay, past tense. Then go quickly and tell these disciples that he has risen from the dead. What is he saying? Don't fear. Don't fear, ladies. Come along. Come. Come approach. Come and see. You see, seeing is believing sometimes. Well, in this case, it was the case. Come and see. See and then go. Go, don't keep this to yourself. Go and tell the world, spread the news today, he is risen. Then addressing the unbelief, the angel reminded them of a few things, inspiring them to believe in the resurrection of Jesus. He took them on this journey. And I'm going to share a couple of things that the angel took the time to remind them of. The first thing that the angel took to remind them of was the past. They're reminded of the crucifixion. He says in one of the verses, in verse 5, he says, I know you here looking for Jesus who was crucified. Hello, these ladies didn't need a reminder. Because they were present, according to John verses 19, chapter 19, verses 25. They were both there when Jesus was crucified. But it was important that the angel reminded them of the past. It was still the past, even though it was fresh in their minds. This reminds us of the importance of the death of Jesus on the cross. His death provided that ultimate sacrifice that was needed to cleanse sinners from their sin and to make sinners right with God. We learned all about this on Friday. We commemorated this on Friday. Today is resurrection. But still at the resurrection, the angel took the time to remind these ladies of the past. The second thing that the angel reminded them of was the present. The angel tells them, you are here at this empty tomb, but he has risen victoriously just as he said. I mean, people, seriously, the greatest proclamation in the whole wide world to fall on human ears in the history of humanity is this: he isn't here, he is risen. I want to say this to you this morning. He isn't in the tomb. He is risen. He is the Christ. He is the Lord. He is the Savior. His death was the perfect eternal payment for sin. But his resurrection was God's receipt for the full amount. You see, a dead Savior can save no one, but a living Savior can offer salvation to all who come to him by faith. When Jesus died on the cross, he said what? We learned this last week, tetelestai, which means it is finished. We have some Greek ladies who come to church. They corrected me in my pronunciation of that word from Friday. I love it. Tetelestai, not tetelestai. Tell us, stay. But when he rose from the dead, so Jesus dies on the cross, he says, this is finished. But when he rises from the dead, God the Father says, I'm satisfied. Redemption has been fulfilled. Whew. To think that Father God is satisfied. He's satisfied with the payment that Jesus made. He's satisfied with the sacrifice that Jesus did. Jesus had come. Jesus had proven that he was who he had claimed to be all along. You and I, humanity, can look at him. We can look at Jesus today, tomorrow, every day, and by faith be confident of his power to save. Acts 19:16-31 says, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. People, it's that easy. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. And then he goes on to say, and you and all your family. Jesus is not all about just you. It's you and all your family. The tomb is empty, people. This is the present current state of affairs today. Nothing has changed. The angel reminded them of a third thing in verse 6, and that was the promise. For he has risen victoriously just as he said. He said that he would do it throughout the Gospels, in Matthew 12:40, in Matthew 16:21, in Matthew 17:7, and so I can go on. His resurrection should never have taken these disciples or these women by surprise. But the angel of the Lord had to come to them to remind them that he is a man of his word. He is God, and they could rely on him. And I come today to you and I say, he is God still today, and you can rely on him. He is the God of yesterday, he is the God of today, and he's the God forevermore. We can never deny that. We can never deny it. What God says happens. The promise was, and it came just as he said. In verse 6, the fourth thing that the angel reminded them of was the proof. Everybody say proof. The angel invites them to witness the empty tomb for themselves, saying, come and see the place where he lay. Past tense. This invitation, it serves as evidence of the resurrection. It serves this invitation, come and see. It serves as an invitation of to see the evidence of the resurrection. But it also encourages the women to become witnesses of this miraculous event. Come inside the tomb and see the place where our Lord was lying. Think about this. Just think about this. These women arrive there. There's this shaking of the ground. I don't want to make that thing fall. But there's this shaking of the ground. There's this angel comes down. There's lightning all around him. There's bolts of lightning. He's blazing in his white thing. I mean, and then he says, come and see. He's bringing them in. Come and see. I'm sure if an angel or an angelic being appeared before you, it may require a nappy change. Yeah? I mean, we mustn't play this down, people. This is scripture. This is not just a story. This is scripture. This is written thousands and thousands of years ago. And you can read every account. And every account written by different writers to different audiences is the same. This really happened. This angelic being. And here the angel comes. And he says, come in. Come and see. Now, we don't know what the woman saw. We don't know when they walked in. What did they see? But you know what? The Apostle John, that's how come you've got to read all the Gospels. The Apostle John records that when Peter and John arrived at the tomb, the linen cloths, the cloths that had been wrapped around Christ's body, were lying there like an empty cocoon. The handkerchief, it wasn't a napkin. It was a handkerchief that was over his face, was folded and set aside. Now, if somebody had taken his body, they wouldn't have been able to remove him out of the wrappings of the cloth. But the wrappings of the cloth were there, like an empty cocoon. You cannot remove somebody through the grave cloths. If they wanted to steal his body, it would have been easier just to pick up the body, grave cloths and all, and drag him out of there. But they didn't. The grave cloths were there. And this is what John and Peter see. And I believe that the woman, if John and Peter saw it, the woman would have seen it as well. Guess what? There's some things you cannot unsee. And these would have been one of those things that they wouldn't have been able to unsee. Now, you and I haven't seen the grave cloths, but the proof was there that Jesus had risen. It is written in Scripture. The proof is there that he was risen and his body was not stolen. And it's on that proof that you and I need to stand, that he is the risen Christ. The fifth thing that the angel reminded them of was the plan. The plan. God's ultimate plan. What was the ultimate plan? It says at the end, go and share. Go quickly and share the good news that Jesus was risen from the dead. Now, I just want to say, Belinda and I, we haven't been nagging you for the past 3 weeks to go and share and go and make disciples for nothing. Hello. The angel said it first. Wasn't JJ and Belinda that said it the past 3 weeks while we've taught on people with purpose? The angel said it. Do we need an angel to appear for us to go out and go and share? No, we don't. We've got the scriptures, but we need to be the ones that are sharing. It was the women, the ones that mankind had culturally shunned all these years up until now, that God uses to send to tell the glorious news that Jesus had conquered death and was alive forevermore. The one that humanity had shunned, the woman. So there is no excuse. God wants to use you. God wants to use me to go out and to tell the world that he is risen. Today I stand on the stage and I proclaim, he is risen, the tomb is empty. It's a reality that we as believers need to live with. The team can join me, that would be great. Here's a statement. Write this down. Stick it on your wall. Stick it on your mirror. The resurrection was the completion of the redemption and the commencement of the Great Commission. Where are we? we are living in the Great Commission. Let me say that again. The resurrection was the completion of the redemption and the commencement of the Great Commission. Matthew 28, 19, which we spoke about the past 3 weeks as we did People with Purpose. Go, therefore, go. There's the same word that the angel said to this woman. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, all, everything that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Genesis 1, right in the top of the Bible, right in the beginning, at creation, he says, fill the earth and subdue it. This is exactly what we have to do. We have to tell people so that we can fill the earth and we can subdue it. We can take it by force with what? With the gospel, with the truth that he is risen and the tomb is empty. There is power in the blood of Jesus. What a glorious message. What a message for Resurrection Sunday. What a message that comes from the first Resurrection Sunday that we can actually repeat this Resurrection Sunday thousands of years later. This was a message of hope. This was a message of life. This was a message of victory. It was a message that everyone back then needed to hear. And I want to say today to us as believers, us sitting in this room, people who are hearing this message, that it is a message that we need to hear today. It's the same message. You see, the resurrection of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, has reminded us what? He was crucified. The past. The tomb is empty. The present still is. He is risen. It's the promise. The grave cloths were left behind. That is the proof. This is the good news to share. That is the plan. Exactly what those women were told by the angels is today for you and for me. You see, in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we have hope. You have hope. No matter the circumstance you face, no matter the challenges you face, no matter if it's going cruisy at the moment, you have hope. You have life, a life in abundance. John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I come to give life, and that in abundance. That abundance is for you, not only financially, not only spiritually, not only physically, but all of the above, everything included. We have victory. We do not come and fight for victory. We fight from victory because this cross is empty. The tomb is empty. We have the victory. Church, listen to what I'm saying. We have to fight from the place of victory, not for victory. Victory is ours. Victory is yours. Victory was yours before you were even born. As you were being formed in your mother's womb, victory was already yours. God says, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. He wants you to live a life of abundance from a place of victory. We have the power. We have the power through the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, and when the Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power. That is the power, the dunamis, the power that we can walk in every single day of our lives. This flimsy Christianity has to stop. We need to start walking in the power of God. And we have the authority. Jesus said, when he gave the Great Commission, he said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. All authority was in. And then he says, go and make disciples. In other words, I've taken back the authority. I've taken back the power. Now I'm sending you, go in the name of Jesus. Take this. Take this with you wherever you go. Take that authority. When there's a mountain, you're speaking to the mountain. When there's a sickness, you're speaking to the sickness. Why? Because Jesus taught the disciples to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. As it is in heaven, on earth as it is in heaven. There is no sickness in heaven. There shouldn't be sickness on earth. There is no poverty in heaven. There should be no poverty on earth. There is no sin in heaven. There should be no sin here. That is how come we can come to the cross and we because of the blood of Jesus. Is this okay? It's gone very quiet. As you can hear, I'm passionate. I'm so passionate. Jesus loves us. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves everybody. That's why he died. That's why he climbed on the cross. The Father loves you. That's why he sent his Son to die on the cross. He's a good, good Father. Church, you have been given everything you need. Everything you need to be his son and daughter. You've been given everything. You need, I need, we all need to fulfill the commission. No. He's given it to you. He's given it to me. May we never forget this message. May this message of the empty tomb be as fresh with us today, tomorrow, weeks ahead, months ahead, as it was on Resurrection Sunday, the first Resurrection Sunday.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.